also known as StarsCast to many out there. My weekly show that I have from 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time, where I have authors and recording artists and all kinds of people on my show. And tonight I have, well, I'll tell you about it when we get started, when I bring him on. But the whole thing of it is you know, I always start off with the things that I do. I have mysticlivingtoday.com. And, of course, what's today is the 16th, so soon people will be getting their little reminders in email. Time to submit that article, excerpt, poetry, anything you want to submit, you know, that you'd like me to see. And I always like an image with it because people like to see things. I mean, if you have a book and this is an article out of the book or an excerpt or article within the book, they like to look at a picture. They really, really do. I used to not do them, and now that's a prerequisite. I have to have that with anything that I get, even poetry. Send me something, a picture of yourself, something that you own, whatever. So without that, then I'm going to go on to Stars with a Z, psychics.com, my other site that everybody knows I've had since, it's 7.5 years old right now and going nicely. Everything's going good. I do all the customer service, as everybody knows. And then, you know, we have specials going on. And by the way, that is Stars with a Z, psychics.com again. We have 10 minutes for $10, 15 minutes for $15, and 25 minutes for $25. And I have a variety of mediums, channelers, tarot card readers, astrologers, numerologists, you name it. I've got it there. And if I don't, you can contact me always at StarsCast, STARZ like in zebra, CAST, at Stars with a Z, psychics.com, and I'll answer your email and I'll direct you in the right way and you'll be really good to go. So with that, all this little advertising that I've been doing, and you know I always do that, and I can talk and talk and talk. I'm going to bring up on our wonderful guest, and his name is Danny Levin, and his name is Daniel, and before we started the show, I said, can I call you Danny? He said, oh, no, you must call me Danny. So, Danny, how are you tonight?
If I was any better, it would be illegal, Natalie. I'm so looking forward to talking to you and so looking forward to being on your show. So I'm excited to be here, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And see, he gives me goosebumps. But I'm going to tell you why I have this great feeling about him, everyone that's listening. It's because I was introduced to him by his publicist and another one, and we exchanged emails, and in his emails you can feel how he feels about you. He's genuine. He's real. I mean, it's not like, thank you very much. I mean, once I changed something for him and he wrote me back, you're the best, and he put that in caps. If you don't think I don't remember that, I do, and I think that's what it is about you. You have this it's a warmth about you. So we're going to talk to Danny about his book. It's called The Mosaic. And I was just laughing to him when we were talking before we went on. If you don't know what a mosaic is, just think about it. It's putting pieces together. I always think of I'm Italian, so I always think of these little dishes that were done. And you could see pieces of tile, actual tile, put in, and then they were grouted. They were grouted and sealed, so it made like a little dish. But they were all different kinds of pieces, all different shapes, all different colors. So when I looked at his book and I held his book, now sometimes I'll read them, sometimes I don't. It just depends. But Danny, your book, as I told you, I held it, and I got this warm feeling from it, and just by the title, I know what it's about. And as I said to you before, well, I have questions, but I kind of like to just talk to you. But my first question to you is, how did you start doing this? Now I have a little sheet on you. It said you had the opportunity to run a business that was a household name. Can you tell us what that was? Or you don't want to? You don't have to.
Oh, no, it's fine. When my parents passed away, I moved in with my mother's sister and her husband. We moved from Philadelphia to Kansas City, Missouri. Her husband was our block of H&R Block. So he was building a $1 billion business. And it was in the time, this was a lot of years ago. So it was in the time where a man in the Midwest didn't feel comfortable giving his business over to his daughters. So he looked at me, and I was there for about 3 months, and he said, Danny, I see in you the potential to take over my company. but I'm going to start you pushing a broom, and in a few years, I think you'll be in my seat. And so any normal human being would have said, where's the broom? When do I get started? How do I do this? But that wasn't, unfortunately, what I said.
But you were really young. You were pretty young, right?
I was 15 years old. So my dad died when I was 13, and my mom died when I was 15, and they both died on the same day, which was July 4th, Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
And for probably 45 years, I thought the message that they were giving me was that I needed to learn to be independent. Dying on Independence Day, what more could be the message? But it wasn't until I started writing The Mosaic and I started having conversations with people and started talking to people that I realized I had gotten their message entirely wrong. Their message wasn't that I should be independent. Their message was independence is what brings us death. It's when we work together with each other, when we come together as a mosaic, that's what brings us life. So 45 years of my life, I was listening to a message that I thought, oh, God, this has to be such an obvious message that they told me. But the message was changed. And so the first thing I want to share with people today, because it comes just from my own foibles, my own mistakes, my own experience. Question your assumptions. Question what you really believe. Because what if what you believe isn't what really is? What if what you see is only part of what is? And if you could see what you didn't see, what would that bring to you? What would that give to you? What would you be able to do that you can't do now? It's such an exciting place to be when you have the courage to look at your belief systems and just not assume that you have the truth. Be open to what the world is trying to give to us.
Yeah, that's, you know, like for me, I can tell you about me. I have a strong belief system, but only for myself. I don't pitch it to anybody else. I don't, you know, but there are most people that I have met, and it wasn't until I got older, Danny, that I realized they're not like me at all. They're just not like me. They just don't understand, and they don't allow themselves. I get visions, okay, and I have this story in my head going on, but I believe in it so much. Nothing of it has come to be yet, but I still have that inner faith, that blind faith, if you will, that I have what I need, and it's going to happen. And I also have a fairy tale that I'm writing about it. So, but it's all evolved. But anyways, I don't want to talk about me.
I love talking about you. What a beautiful story, because, and here's what I would even say to you, because I feel like I've known you for 1,000 years already. I don't know why.
I know.
Right? But I would even say to you, in the certainty that you have of the visions that you get and the information that you're given, always leave room for the possibility to see something else. Always leave room, even for all of us. I've believed things for almost 63 years now. And it's only in these last few months that I've started to say, what if what I believe, what if what I see isn't really all true? Not that it's false.
Oh, that would be, that would really hurt me though, Danny. It would really hurt me.
Oh, really? Tell me why.
Yep. Because it's deep in my soul. And, I would be open for more things to come from it.
Okay.
And I know things have a way of, you know, kind of shifting, like, well, you can't do this because this is going to happen, and you can't do this. I mean, I don't expect it to go exactly like I'm getting, but it's just so crucial and so important to me. I would hate to think that what I've been given has not been real at all.
They tell a beautiful story. If I can share with you a beautiful story, they tell a beautiful story of a man who died and went to heaven. And and the person who greeted him there in heaven showed him around and took him to the heavenly junkyard. And he was walking through and he's showing them these beautiful, beautiful cars. And he passed by this incredible BMW, and it was just loaded with all the things that every man in the world would want. And the man walking through the junkyard said to the little angel showing him around, "I know you said this is for all the things people rejected on earth, but who in the world would ever reject this car? This is the most beautiful car I've ever seen." And lo and behold, the little angel looks at him and says to him, "Funny, you know what? You are the one that rejected that car." And the man says, "That's just not possible. If you would have given me this car, I would have taken it with 100 arms." He said, no, we were trying to. But all the time you were praying for a Volkswagen. And we wanted to give you this. We kept saying, no, we want to give you this. But you kept praying for a Volkswagen, 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 Volkswagen. And you didn't allow us to give you what we wanted. That's really more what I'm talking about. It's not that you'll lose your dream. It's not that any of us will lose our dream. We might. Who knows? But what the heaven and the universe wants to give us and what the mosaic wants us to connect to is so much more than we even see with our own vision. Because when we're connected to this reality of all these pieces coming together, of all these things working in unison, what we see is far beyond anything we can even dream. We start to see past and present and future all combined. We start to see different realities, parallel realities, mm-hmm. operating in the same reality. And we don't see that with our eyes from this point, from our vantage point. So when I talk to people, even if it hurts you, you know I love you. And I'm saying it because I just want you to open yourself up even wider. We silo ourselves by the beliefs that we have. And we say, this is what we see. And we can't get what the universe wants to give us because we see it. We wanted to see it like this way.
And yeah, that's true.
I'm not saying that for you. I'm saying that for the people that are listening. I'm saying it really for me. If you would see, I have a big mirror sitting in front of me right here, and I'm talking to myself. Right? So it's not like I know this. This is what's being given to me right now for me, and I just want to share it with all the love of my heart, because when we open up to what's possible, the impossible becomes possible.
Well, this is pretty impossible.
Okay.
It's pretty impossible, Danny. Now tell us a little. I don't want to talk about myself, like I said, but I know you don't mind talking about me. It doesn't matter because actually I am part of this.
Yeah,
no, I know I am part of this. I mean, that's why I knew this was going to be really good, because I can feel myself like a mosaic. You know.
I love it.
And you would understand this more than anybody probably that's listening to the show right now, because my life did not start off knowing that I was going to be doing what I'm doing now. I mean, but again, I know you believe in synchronicities. I know you know when a door opens, and I tell this to people, at least open it and take a peek. Well, if you really don't want it, you have a choice. You can say, nah, I don't want to do that. Well, then don't do it. You don't have to.
Yep.
And the beauty of that is that there's going to be a lot of doors opening, you know.
Yep.
But this is more than a Volkswagen.
I understand.
And it's a stretch, and I know. That's okay. But I'm such a strong believer, and I just don't think I would have been given all of this for nothing. Granted, I could write a beautiful love story, because that's what it is. It's a fairy tale. It's kind of... One day we'll talk on the phone and I'll tell you about it. It's just a beautiful fairy tale that I can see myself telling kids about 12, 13, 14 years old. My granddaughter read it, took it to school. Her teacher read part of it, and the teacher said, "You wrote this?" She said, "No, my gram wrote it." And she said, "Oh, my God." And the lady had tears in her eyes. She said, "This is beautiful." She said, "Well, you should hear my grandmother say it and tell it, because it's her voice."
Wow.
So you left this opportunity. Did you just close the door and say, "Goodbye, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to be in real estate. I don't want to be, not real estate, in, it was taxes,
in
tax
tax
stuff, right?
Right.
H&R Block,
taxes, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever kicked yourself about not doing that?
1,000 times, yeah. But here's the thing. I kicked myself because I would have been set for life financially. But I celebrate myself because I wouldn't have been fulfilled. And all
you probably
would have
been miserable.
I would have been miserable. I would have been rich and miserable. And all too often what I find, and it's not because it's a bad job. It's not because they were bad people. They were fabulous people. They did they do amazing work for people. It just wasn't mine. And when we do something that isn't ours, whether that's following the way, you know, so many people say, follow me. I want you to buy my program. I want to sell you this. Everybody's selling everybody's stuff. But why? I'm not a carbon copy of you. Why would I do what you did? I have to figure out what I do. And to me,
that's right.
There is a beauty in the imagery of the mosaic because the peace, P-I-E-C-E, when we know our peace, P-I-E-C-E, it brings us peace, P-E-A-C-E. And it's when we get to have peace, P-E-A-C-E, P-I-E-C-E, when all of our pieces experience peace, we know peace. When we don't know P-I-E-C-E, we don't know peace, P-E-A-C-E. And it just becomes that simple. And we're all focused.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense
outside.
To me.
Yeah. And so,
you know,
I kind of examine
sometimes myself if I start feeling, because of these visions and everything, and it's so strong for me, and it's something that I would really like a chance at. And then I'll meditate, but then I'll say to myself, okay, well, let's go to work. And right now it's tax time for me. You know, I have to do all of this stuff for this one business. But I find that when I'm really so busy that I have very little time, I'm probably my happiest.
Yeah.
Because I'm focusing on what I'm doing, and that creative part of my brain is not going wild, you know, and nothing is coming in. It's kind of like on hold. But I think, too, and you probably feel this way, you have to find your passion. Now, if you would have done this that was going to be given to you, you would have been a miserable man, period.
Yeah. I can't say that I would have been. Go ahead.
Well, because you had this inner calling, though, don't you think, that this is not what I want to do? I mean, and somebody says to me, well, you must make a lot of money. No, I don't. I do most of this for free. Yeah. But it's a passion, and it's helping me to continue on with my work that I love, keep me youngish. I'm using my brain every single day. Everybody knows this. I have 3 monitors in front of me right now. And, you know, I busy mind is a healthy mind. So I'm grateful for that. So I think I'm being paid back with good health and the ability to do all of this stuff. So that's my payment.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to, I think that's part of it too, but tell us more about the book how you sat down. I know I could still tell the beginning of it, but I would rather hear from you because it's your voice and you're going to be able to say it much better than me. So how did this start? Now let's back up. What did you do after you decided you didn't want to do this wonderful family thing that you could have had? Okay, people are probably saying, my goodness, why didn't he do this? He could have done them both.
This guy's an idiot,
no, you don't
right?
understand. Was he stupid? No, you couldn't have done it both because this would have required your all. And I think something was calling and saying, no, there's more to it than this. It's not just collecting all this money and being happy and laughing all the way to the bank. There's more to it. And there are people listening right now, and I hope it's one special person listening, that money does not bring you happiness. You have to go outside of it. You have to extend yourself. You must. You just must. And how do you know you're not going to make a mistake? Well, you don't. But if you have that feeling inside you, it's not going to be wrong. Then it's not going to be wrong. I always tell people, when you do, you do. The more you do, the more you do. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
So after you turned your back on this, did you do odd jobs? I mean, what did you do?
So what I realized, I have been given so many opportunities. My life has been one of the most beautiful lives you could ever imagine. But that's not only because I've had incredible highs. It's also because I've had tumultuous lows. I've mixed with people that are the richest people in the world. and I've sat on street corners with the poorest people the world has ever known. And what I realized in my process in sitting with people is I realized that every single person, no matter what their skin color, no matter what their finances, no matter what side of the border they live on, no matter what political party they're associated with, no matter what religion they practice, no matter whether they're male or female or transgendered or whatever, every single one of us wants the same thing. We want to be loved and accepted. We want to be listened to and understood. And we want to be heard and validated. And if you look at what's happening in the world today, we're not seeing much of that. We're seeing people talk over people. We're not seeing much listening. We're seeing a lot of fighting. My side's right, your side's right. And what's happened is our silos that used to give us strength are now literally tearing the fabric of our mosaic apart. And so what I did then is I looked, and I only discovered this 45 years later as I was writing my book. I was given heaven on earth so many times. I had so many opportunities. I could have taken over H&R Block. I studied psychology with a person who founded organizational psychology, and he wanted me to be his mentor. But I found that wasn't my heaven. I traveled around the world. I studied in a rabbinical seminary and was one day away from being ordained a rabbi. That wasn't my heaven. I sat in a monastery for 10 years and was a monk for 10 years in a yoga community. That wasn't my heaven. I got married and had a child, and my wife passed away and died the most painful death that you could ever imagine, and my child is developmentally delayed. That was closer to my heaven. But what I realized in writing this book, The Mosaic, I worked with Hay House, and I grew Hay House from a $3 million a year company to $100 million a year. It seemed like it was everything I wanted, but none of it was my heaven, because it wasn't. It was heaven on earth. It wasn't what I was looking for. I was looking for that feeling, Natalie, and I have it in a picture from my bar mitzvah. The rite of passage for a young Jewish boy to becoming a man. I have a picture where my mom and dad.
Lots to be said with that. I'm not Jewish, you know. I'm not Jewish, but I do understand. I do resonate. I do understand. So you've done a lot.
I've done a lot. But what I want to say to you is,
but it wasn't.
It wasn't right.
It just wasn't right.
I have a picture that I remember in that book of my mom and dad holding me from the side and from the back. And the love that I felt from them in that moment was the pure, unconditional love of complete acceptance, of complete, there's nothing I could do that was wrong. That was the feeling I was looking for, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I couldn't find it in relationships. I couldn't find it in monasteries. I couldn't find it in businesses. I couldn't find it in hitchhiking around the world. Until I sat and I said, how do I find that again? The Mosaic is an amazing book. It tells roughly my story, but it really isn't my story. If I've done it well, it's everybody's story. It's a story about a boy who's in search of heaven, and the people that he meets along the way are common, ordinary people. But when he sits and listens to them, he realizes there's nothing ordinary about them. And if we would only listen to each other. So what happened to me in writing that book is it connected me. You said it, you know, there's always a door that opens up. Go and at least peek through it. I would really recommend every connection that happens. Take advantage
of
it. Go to it. Explore it. See what it wants to give. You might hit a wall, but turn around and go to the next one. But we are one connection away, Natalie, from having every single thing we want. We're one connection away from a perfect relationship. We're one connection away from incredible prosperity. We're one connection away from being completely fulfilled in the life that we live. We're one connection away from having perfect health. We're one connection away from having all of our pain gone. But we're too scared to get out of the silos that we sit in and surround ourselves in with walls that we build to protect ourselves, because we're too scared of what will happen to us if we lose the painful feeling that we have in that silo. Because we have some joy.
We get too used to the pain, right?
We get too used to what we have. And yeah. this whole mosaic is about connecting you to things you've never seen before, to things, to opportunities that you don't even know exist. Because when you take those opportunities, Natalie, your world completely changes. Some wise man, it might have been Wayne Dyer, but I don't remember. Somebody said to me years ago, when you see the world differently, the world you see becomes different.
And I think it was him. World, I've heard that before. I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it was him. And the world we look at is the one we always look at. The people we hang out with are the ones we always hang out with. This is a moment in time where we're in conflict with each other. That's the greatest moment that could ever be, because if we would only sit and listen to each other and hear what each other's saying, we might see something we've never seen before. We might hear a new way to do something. All my life, I've seen the world differently than other people, and it's always alienated me and made me feel alone. But now I'm finding that now, right? You know that. But now I'm finding that businesses and governments are bringing me in because they're saying we need innovation. We need to see things differently than the way we're seeing it. We're stuck where we are. And what's happening through that process, and it's interesting that it's coming out in this conversation with you. What's happening all of a sudden is I've had this little man in my head that talks to me all the time. And my wife says he's never wrong. And I fight with him because he wants me to say things to people that I just sometimes don't feel appropriate saying. But every time I say what he tells me to say, it resonates and it lands. And so there is something intuitive in us, psychic in us, masterful in us, that if we would stop fighting it, if we would allow it to open us up, if we would allow it to show us a world that we can't even imagine because we want so badly the world that we see. We're sitting eating the crumbs that fall from the table when the table has a banquet on it. And we're invited to sit at the table.
But we choose not to.
We choose not to sit because what are we going to do? We got crumbs down here. We don't want to lose these crumbs.
Right, and if we take everything off the table, there won't be any more crumbs.
Yeah,
I just thought of that. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true, yeah.
But we're being asked to sit at the table of our Heavenly Father. We're being asked to join Him in this banquet that is so abundant and so prosperous and so good. But let the crumbs fall where they go. Let other people eat the crumbs. That's not our place to eat anymore. We're being asked to stand up, to connect with each other and build new paradigms, new realities, new world views. Because the world we live in is not the one I want to hand down to my kids anymore. I don't want a world where people are fighting. I don't want a world where people can't even drink clean water. I don't want a world where there's poverty. I don't want a world where there's homelessness. I don't want a world where women have to sell their bodies to make money. What the heck happened to the world we live in?
Right. I want it to be all good for everybody. That's my desire, is I want healthy, everybody be healthy, they have food, they have clothes, they can work, make some kind of a living for their families, be successful in whatever it is, even if they're sweeping floors. That's what I want for the whole world. I look at the whole world. And I always tell people, if I had a wand, a magic wand, I'd fix it all in one sweep. Because, you know, I look at things, I don't even like to get into conversations sometimes with people, Danny, because they don't see what I see. Like I told you in the beginning, they're just not like me. And I don't even know what me is sometimes.
Yeah.
And you talk about, you know, open the doors for everything. I mean, I know so many people all over the world just by this magazine that I do.
Totally.
And I could be booked for the whole year if I wanted to, I fill it as it comes to me. You know, Tom's listening. He's probably thinking, oh, I got another one for her to interview. I know he's probably laughing, but it's true. That's what I do. Is I just wait for it to come my way. I don't go seek it out. I'll talk to Dia. I'll say something to her, and you make connections, but I don't ask.
Beautiful people, both of us.
I just, I just kind of, I write a really, well, you know what my emails are like. I mean, I send
totally.
X's and O's, and I don't even know you from anybody, but I know you. Soon as you wrote some things to me, I knew you. And I'll tell you something, too, talking about things that you want to do. I want to go to Jerusalem, and I'm a little Catholic girl.
You will love it.
I want to go there.
I live 5 years
and I also
there.
Want to walk where Jesus walked.
Yeah.
Because I was
it
there in that
you.
Time.
Totally.
Huh?
It will move you. I was there. I lived there for 5 years. I lived on
Mount Zion.
I
know it will. I just know it will. And I will be met with open arms because they're going to know something when they see me. The people that are there, that are, the older people, you know, not the real young ones, but the older people, they're going to know.
Yeah.
I want to walk his path.
Yeah.
And I want to go to Africa. Of course, everybody, they're probably talking now. Oh, God, we know. We hear that every week. That's another thing that I want to do is I want to go to Africa. But, you see, I could tell you stories about how things opened for me, just the experience through somebody else's eyes that I met because I said something really nice and I got something really nice back, but I got more than I even asked for. So it's like your book. It's exactly like your book.
But that's the beauty
of the book. You should have wrote a chapter about me. And here's Natalie's life.
That's right. And Natalie, if I did my job well, this isn't a story about my life. It's a story about everybody's life. And here's really what I want to encourage people when they pick up the book and they read it, because I hope every single one of your listeners will, because it's the start of a new movement. Read not only the words that are written on the pages, read the spaces between the words. Because when you allow yourself to connect to this mosaic, this living, breathing, conscious connection, amazing things will open up for you, things that you never imagined. Just allow yourself. This isn't a religious practice. There's not religion isn't mentioned in the book one dime. We're talking to basic, normal, ordinary people, a street worker, a gardener, a trash man, a waitress, a juice man, a blind woman. They're not your classic archetypes. And what it really is, it's a celebration, again, of remembering how beautiful the ordinary is. When I ask people on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being what they want people to have and 10 being what one being what they don't want to have and 10 being what they really want, and I say, where do you put the word ordinary? Most people say 1 or 2. When I say, where do you put the word extraordinary? Where do you put that? And they say 10. Everybody wants to be extraordinary. But why?
Mm-hmm.
In the English language, the word extraordinary means extraordinary. So I stop them in their path and I say, why do you want to be extra of something you don't want to be? The mosaic has taught me that we were never meant to be superheroes. We were never meant to put on capes. We were never meant to have superpowers. We were meant to come together with other ordinaries, other beautiful people. And we were meant to allow ourselves the chance to work together to create miraculous things. And when extraordinaries come together, we create extraordinary situations. When the pieces of the mosaic, when you look at them, some are broken, some are shattered, some are whole, some are beautiful, some are ugly. It doesn't matter because together they create this incredible artistry. And we were never meant to stand alone. We were never meant to. My parents died on the 4th of July, and I thought all this time I had to be strong and independent and do it on my own. It's not true. We were meant to come together with each other and create amazing reality.
But sometimes
I feel like
it takes years, don't you think, Danny? Sometimes it just doesn't happen overnight. You know, things happen to me, and it took me 6 years, and I was telling my son today about this. I guess I'm supposed to tell you. I suffered a loss, but it was kind of like God helping me out. And so I would go with my friend, my girlfriend, and I find myself, and I'm looking at myself when I'm saying this to my son. I would be behind her, I was like her shadow, because I don't know if it was inhibited. I don't know what it was about me. It took 6 years. To where now I walk in, even a restaurant, I felt like everybody was looking at me. I didn't like being there at all. I forced myself to go because my friend would drag me out. Come on, you're going to go. We got to get you out of the house. We got to do this. We got to do this. Because she knew what I was about a little bit. And it's because of her. I am where I am right now as far as doing that. Now I can go in a restaurant and I think, well, look at me.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
But something happens to you as a person when you are knocked down, and it's very hard to get back up. It takes years sometimes. I mean, I could really talk to people about it that went through what I went through, but it's taken all. It was my husband. He's going to be gone 7 years, and it's only now that I can say, and I told my son this, I can say now that I can be the first one in. I can say, well, let's go over here. I would never do that before, never.
Congratulations.
But it took all that time. And I probably have to thank what I do, my magazine, all the beautiful people that I've met. Some I talk to on the phone, sometimes I don't. But you get feelings in emails like I got with yours. I just knew you would be a great man. I just knew it. Tom is another one. Tom, you're listening. You're another one.
Absolutely.
He's a softie.
You're
easy,
Tom. Beautiful man. Absolutely.
But it's true. If you can't, and also to the people, and you're going to attest to this, if you call somebody, say, like customer service, which I had to go through, all right? I'm great at customer service, but not everybody is. If you be kind and kind of be what you would like, what you'd like to receive, or what you would like changed, and if that person doesn't do it, and this is the truth, then you ask to talk to someone above them in position to say, well, can I talk to your supervisor? Because maybe they can help me. You might not even know how to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
I can convince anybody to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a schmoozer.
Yes,
I am, I am. And if Tony, my webmaster, is listening, he'll say to me, how do you do all this? I said, well, maybe I charm them. I don't know, but I'm a schmoozer. I can get a lot done. I mean, and I don't even have to really work at it. It's just I'm kind. I care. I care about everybody. But sometimes you wonder, well, gosh, you care so much, but what are you getting back? Well, today I realize what I'm getting back. I have great health. I look still really good. I don't look my age. I have a beautiful family, a son, a granddaughter that's top drawer, a daughter-in-law, great friends. So I have that. I have people that care about me. And online, Danny, I have such a circle around me you would not believe.
Yeah.
Of support. I could go to any one of them at any moment in time and say, I need your help. And they'd say, okay, call me. What do you need?
Yeah.
That's what I've been given, I think. I don't know.
Well,
that's how I feel.
If you actually pause for a moment, really, that is what you have given. And so that is also what you've
been
given.
You know, I do think that sometimes I've given so much to everybody, and I have little conversations with God every day. Sometimes I'm not so sweet, the sweet, sweet young woman, you know. And, okay, I do this.
I know those conversations.
Yeah, I help this one. Yeah. I don't bash him, but, I'll just say now, what did you call what happened today? Now, what was that all about? I mean, I kind of like my little dissertation, you know. But sometimes I do sit back and I think I've done so much. And I don't want to say it's being used by people to do things to help them out, because I did it because I wanted to. But sometimes I'll say out loud, okay, I'm kind of waiting for a little tidbit my way. How about a little something? Yesterday my day was full of signs. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. But I've been reworking things a little bit, and how I'm talking and to the powers that be. And I do that every day, and I always say to people, if God has hair, he probably doesn't have any more now, because they'll say, oh, here she comes. Here she comes every day. She comes to tell me something. I wonder if she's going to say, did I do something good today? Do something good, I'll tell you. You got to have kind of fun with it, but be serious at the same time. However, there's another side to me that I can be very assertive if I have to.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go toe-to-toe with me, even though I may not know what you know.
I can tell that
but
right now.
I really.
I'm a big,
I could be
a
you-know-what
on
wheels.
I can tell that. I can tell
yeah,
that. I'm a big
you
guy,
know what on
I'm
wheels, and they
cross,
can be
yeah.
really fast and run you right over. Because I stand up for certain things that I believe in. I believe every, you know, things rights, and I would help anybody. It doesn't matter who they are. And I was thinking about that. I think you brought this all on by me thinking about your book and reading your emails that you have written and the connection that I know you felt with me that I felt with you. Now, we've never met. We've never talked on the phone before this.
Nope.
So there's got to be something. So people that are listening, you know, you have to take heed in what we're saying. This is the truth, you know. And the one thing I tell everybody, and you probably would believe the same way, be nice to everyone. Be kind
yeah.
to everyone.
So, I do. And yet, there are four practices that the Mosaic has given me that lead people to having connection. And if we have time, I would love to try and share those with you now.
Oh, yeah,
because,
go ahead,
and we
sure.
can talk about them.
I have 90 minutes for the show. We can talk for an hour and a half.
Oh, great. The first practice is something I've heard 1,000 times, and I'm sure when I say it to you, you're going to go, oh, come on, everybody says that. You might be too kind to say that to me, but we've heard it millions of times. When it came to me as the first practice, I thought, oh, come on, I'm so sick of hearing this over and over and over again. What is it? And the practice is just simply to be kind to yourself. We are so kind to everybody else.
Hmm.
But we forget ourselves most of the time. We would never treat another person the way we treat ourselves.
That's
and
true.
The practice of being kind to ourselves is so vital because here's what happens, Natalie. If I'm constantly attacking myself. I'm constantly saying, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I'm, oh, what an idiot I was. Oh, how stupid that was, or how foolish, or how, and I'm literally, if you can imagine, my right hand swinging away at my body and my left hand catching it to protect myself from hitting myself. That's what happens during the course of the day. And I can do it anytime during the day. I don't know when I'm going to do it, and I don't know where I'm going to hit myself. So my left hand protecting me is literally 3 inches from my body, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And what I've really realized is I've built a wall around myself to protect myself from my own attack. And that wall doesn't
mm-hmm.
allow me to experience much of the world. I can never experience you because you'll never experience me. What I've done is I've painted my wall so pretty that you think my wall is me, and you start to relate to my wall as if it's me, but you don't see that I'm quivering in a fetal position, hoping you'll never
right.
look over that wall and discover who I really
right.
am, because I'm so afraid you'll see who I really am. Why?
That's true.
Right? Why are we so afraid that people will see who we are? It's time, if we start to be kind to ourselves, we no longer need the wall that protects us from hitting ourselves. And that wall can come down. And so what happens is in the minute that wall comes down, exponentially my world grows. Suddenly, I might build another wall 5 feet, 10 feet out when I see you because I might be scared of what you'll do to me. Or I'll get hurt by you. But I now have 5 or 10 feet where I only had 3 inches before. And the things that I can experience, the smells, the tastes, the sounds, the sights, the feel, the things that I can touch are now so much more than they were just a few seconds ago when that wall surrounded me and suffocated me, that I start to experience stuff. And I start to feel stuff that I never felt before. But most of us are so siloed in by our own fear of what we'll do to ourselves that we never get to experience the world. So the connections we have with each other is my wall connects to your wall. And is it any wonder that we're not fulfilled in those relationships? Because you've never touched me and I've never touched you. But look how simple it is in an email correspondence.
Right.
You're on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. We're 3,000 miles away, but we feel each other because we're open to each other.
Opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right?
Yeah.
We're, and so it can't be that the world is this scary place where we have to protect ourselves. When you come open and I come open, we span time and distance, because all of a sudden we allow another person to see us. Intimacy is into me see, right? I allow you to see into me. And that allows an intimacy that can come through the cover of a book or a feeling that you have when you hold it, or from an email that you get, or from someone's voice on a phone, or a radio interview. We never have to even see each other. We can be touched by the very wind that blows through the air. So only when we allow those walls to come down of defending ourselves from ourselves is that process even start. Have I explained that clearly? Is that practice one
perfect.
Fairly
it's
clear?
It's exactly what I am and what I do.
Okay.
It's perfect.
So in order to do that, what I've actually created is a Be Kind to You bracelet. Because what I saw is so many times I just will sabotage myself. I'll think I'm not good enough. I'll eat the wrong things. I'll make a decision that I'm going to eat only raw foods. And then I go out and I eat, something bad. I put the bracelet on my left wrist, and the idea is to try and go 21 consecutive days being kind to yourself. Okay.
That's probably in the beginning tough to do, correct?
I'm 4 months into it. I'm still on day one. Because every time I sabotage myself, I take it off of my left wrist, and now it's on my right wrist. Day one starts again. Sometimes I'll switch my bracelet 8 times a day. Sometimes I'll get to day 5. Sometimes I'll only get to day 2. It isn't about getting to 21 days in the quickest possible manner. For me, it's about becoming aware of the things that I do to sabotage myself from being the person that is open and receptive to the world around me. It's bringing down those walls that I have up to protect me from myself and from other people. And when I see the things that trigger me, then suddenly this little bracelet becomes my godsend. Because suddenly now I start to say, I was sitting in lunch today with people and I was just about to say something. Oh, God, I'm such an idiot. I can't even understand what you're saying. But I didn't say that. What I said to them is, can you explain that a little? Can you explain that a little more? Because I would like to understand that better.
It's okay not
to
get it. You're not going to get everything. Right. It's true.
So
it's perfect.
So that's available on my website. And I'm sure you'll give the links to that. We don't have to talk about that now.
I've already got it up on one of my monitors.
I sound like some big tech person, don't I? You are a tech person.
Oh, I've already got it up here. I can see it all.
I love you. So that's the Be Kind You 21 consecutive day challenge, okay? The second practice, it's once I start to take down those walls, you know what's going to happen is you're going to start to see me and I'm going to start to see you. And suddenly I'm going to become vulnerable. Like with that wall around me, I was protected. You can't see me and I can't see you. All you see is the wall that I painted. But now with that wall down, you might actually start to see me because your wall may be down too. And so all of a sudden, I now have the possibility of you seeing me and me seeing you. And all these things are coming into me that I haven't seen or experienced before. It might be other people's thoughts of me. It might be the world around me. It might be the environment, the city, the country, the river, the mountain. But suddenly I start to see things that I never saw, and I have new experiences, and I'm vulnerable and open to them. And some of us, as much as we want to say that we love being vulnerable, we hate being vulnerable sometimes because we feel weak.
Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody, and they said, but if I get vulnerable, what if somebody hurts me? And I said, what if somebody hurts you? By the very fact that you're vulnerable now, if somebody hurts you, you'll have the courage to go up to somebody else and say, will you help me up? I feel hurt. Because you're no longer having to be this superhuman where you have to protect yourself and show the world that you're somebody more than you are. We don't need to be more
That's
than
right.
we are. We just need to be ourselves.
That's right.
Does it make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
And so, yeah, you're going to get hurt. No doubt about it. When you put down those walls, something's going to come and it's going to hurt you. No doubt about it. But guess what? You also have the experience to feel loved, to feel appreciated, to feel uplifted, to feel held, to feel embraced, to feel nurtured and alive. Because the walls that I've had around me don't allow me to do anything like that. They just smother me in my own protection. And so I'm willing to risk being hurt a little for the possibility of being loved a lot. And that
happens too, even when you're really young.
Oh my God, it happened to me
like
at 13
for a girl, and it goes right up through your adult years.
Yeah. It happened to me when I lost my dad at 13. I mean, I was 13 years old. I lost my dad. I closed myself off because I couldn't deal with that pain. He was my hero. So
right.
I closed myself off, and I thought, I can't let the world hurt me like this. And then my mom passed away.
Yeah, you didn't even want the world around you. You didn't want anything. You just wanted to be self-contained in that little person that you were. And, yeah, you built a wall around yourself. Yeah.
And so guess what I did? I joined a monastery for 10 years. I put walls around me by being a monastic. Those were safe walls, well-respected walls.
Wasn't that tough to do?
To be in a monastery?
Yeah.
No, I loved it. I loved it because when I look at it, I loved it because the world around me represented pain. The world in the internal world represented this incredible joy. I sat and meditated.
I was going to say, you weren't faced with all the things going on the world on the outside.
I would sit and meditate.
I mean, you were on a land that, yeah.
So in my practice of meditating for 4 to 6, 8 hours a day, I had this incredibly loved experience where all I would do is feel my beloved, and I would and God would never hurt me. And so I gave myself to God, and God gave himself to me, and I felt this incredible marriage of our souls. And so
can you imagine when I had my little talks with him, and I'm telling him, now, what did you call what happened today? What was that about? Can you imagine?
this little woman
here telling me, moi, I did something wrong. Well, you did something wrong. And
yeah,
I want to
totally.
Know why, and I want to know how you're going to fix it.
Not only can I imagine, and Natalie, I put up a punching bag, you know, a big, heavy bag. And you know why I was punching on that bag? Because I said, I know I have no chance, but when I come up and I actually see you, I am going to give my best effort to land a left hook for all the pain you've caused in this world, for all the pain you've allowed people to go through. I'm literally practicing.
You and I are of the same
my
class,
left
so to speak. I will say to my friends, when I see him and I are going to go toe-to-toe because so many blunders have happened. So many things are wrong. But I also know, Danny, and people say to me, well, I have this one gal. She'll say, but why? I said, well, because you have to experience this. He can't fix it all. He's not going to just wave his hand and say, all better, all gone, all good. Because that's part of your experience, your life experience.
Yes.
You have to, in some of it, but some of it I just don't understand, and you bet I will be asking about it, and so will you.
Totally.
What was that?
So.
What was that?
So. And I think that's a healthy relationship. And every relationship we have, whether it's with the most intimate marriage we have or our friends, there are times when we fight each other, right? We're just times where
that's
we just
right.
don't
oh,
agree
yes.
yet. And when
yes.
we're not able
but
to...
But that doesn't mean you still don't love
to,
them or care about them.
You love
not
and adore,
at all.
It means you love and adore them because you have the freedom.
That's right.
They hold the space for us to be who we are. And the beautiful thing about this space that we hold as God beings for each other is we hold the space for each other not to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect. No one's ever asked us
no.
to be perfect. We just have to be ourselves. And so when we're vulnerable enough to realize, you know what? I'm throwing a left hook because I'm going to try and land it to God. And I know I have no chance. My arms are too short to box with God. He'll knock me out in 1 second if I go after him. But that's okay because I'm still going to try. Right? Until... the other
right.
arm of his.
Oh,
holds,
you know I will.
Holds,
he's
yeah,
probably dreading
you.
That day.
well,
I'm
going to
keep
gonna
on
happen?
Earth, man. She's going to give me so much havoc and wrath.
You have my lines. I
yeah.
think the only reason I'm still alive is because God doesn't want me and Satan doesn't want me. So I have to stay here for a while.
That's what I'm saying. Can
I'm
you
kidding.
Imagine?
No, I know. You're in a, totally. So, but you get this part of being vulnerable enough to just accept ourselves
yes, yes.
and love
and you,
ourselves.
Yes, and I think we all do that, though. I think, I'm trying to think if there's any circumstances for me. There must be, I'm sure. You know, I'm so self-contained. I'm not a recluse, but I could be. I could just, if I have my work and my computer's humming, I can get to people online. I'm okay. I have interaction with people, yes, but in a way, if you think about that, Danny, that's something that I would be vulnerable. You see, I choose
yeah.
to do this because I'm safe and
yeah.
contained, and I don't have to go out and encounter maybe people that I'm really not fond of or. You know, I mean, they all want you to be just oh so wonderful, but, you know, I'm not perfect and neither are you. But
no, by a long time.
I mean, I do get out, but I guess that's part of, for me, that's my vulnerability is to be,
yeah.
I can be really shy. I know it's hard to believe, but I can be.
And how beautiful is that? Like, we don't have
I don't
to
know.
Be anything other than, we don't have to be anything other than what we are. What we are is so exquisite. If we would just have the courage to be ourselves, to realize, hey, you know something, I'm shy. I'm sort of timid about going out and meeting new people now because I feel safer here in my home. I see it with myself.
Yeah.
That was why I just sat with somebody at dinner yesterday and I long for my monastery, even though I'm married to the most beautiful, special woman that I've ever known. I long to go back to my monastery. And she said, shut the hell up. Why are you doing that? Your monastery, you're
yeah.
just hiding. That's not where you're going. You're here in this world with this woman doing this life and do this life. And stop
right.
trying
and
to run away to your
it.
Monastery. Well, but it's
yeah.
even, it's like, this monastery idea is just another silo, I realize. It's just another protection mechanism that I
mm-hmm.
that I used. It's not for every monk, but it's beautiful. But for me, in this point in my life, I was given the task of writing this book, The Mosaic, which is a book of connection. And God must have the biggest belly laugh going on now because I was just one step away. I was literally 2 weeks away from going to the Himalayas to sit in a cave. And spend the rest of my life in a cave. And here, I'm the one that he's talking about creating connection through? Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
You can't find somebody better than me to do that? Switch my bracelet, okay? But you understand what I'm saying? It's
yeah,
like,
yeah, it's true,
they're,
yeah.
They're
well, if somebody
would have
told
better.
Me, I don't know, 15 years ago, maybe even less than that, I suppose, that I'd be talking to people that I have never met before, I've never talked before, and having a wonderful conversation with them like I've known them for years.
Yeah.
I would never
yeah.
believe that. Never.
So when I was at Hay House, what I realized is I thought people wrote the books that they knew, but they didn't. There are very few people that wrote books of things that they knew that they want to teach the world. 99% of the books that are written, and that might be a generously low number, 99% of the books that are written by people who need to learn what they wrote. And what the Mosaic answered me when I said to it, why did you pick me to write this book? It
right.
answered me because you need to learn connection. And so we're bringing you to be the harbinger of this message of connection because it's what you need to learn. You understand what it feels like to be disconnected. You understand what it feels like to hide. You understand what it's like to live in a silo. You understand what it's like to knock yourself down and not be kind to yourself. You understand what it's like to hide from vulnerability. You understand what it's like to do these things. So go spread the message and help people. Just share with them who you are. And if people are inspired.
And you told me something, Danny, about my fairy tale. Most people do not understand what a fairy tale is. I can
yeah.
tell them.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
I mean, I have to finish writing it. I really do. It's just,
yeah.
Everybody keeps
and you
telling
will.
Me.
What I was getting earlier when you were speaking to me is you have such a big work to do. You think you have an idea of what it is, multiply it by 100,000. You have so much that's coming through you, and it's time to do it. And I don't mean to go all psychic on you, but when that little man in my head speaks, I honor him now. And in fact, you know what I'm going to do for people on your show is I'm going to come out of the closet. And if people feel drawn to have clarity and to see something they haven't seen, they can schedule an appointment with me. I never do this, but I'll make it affordable. I'll figure out a way to do it where people can call me and I will, my ability, innate ability, is that I'm able to listen to a person's soul and I'm able to tell them what their soul is trying to tell them. And most of us can't hear it because we clutter it up with all our own stories. When I look into my mirror,
yeah, we
the
do.
Mirror maker,
I mean, I know I do.
Right? I do.
Yeah,
I can't see my own stuff. But when I look at other people, I have somehow this gift that I'm able to see what their soul is saying. And I say back to them and they go, oh, my God, wow, you're amazing. I'm not amazing. I just literally repeated what you told me to say. And if I can't do it, I won't charge anybody for it. So this isn't about making money. This is about waking up and realizing how people who don't know each other from thousands of miles away are so connected to each other.
Well, they can listen to you and I talk. And they can say, God, she must have known him for years. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know you for years.
We literally
know everybody
tonight,
that's listening.
Right?
This is the first time we've talked on the phone. And see, that's what makes, to me, I mean, and I've had compliments about it. This one man, he says, this was not an interview. This was the best talk I've ever had in my whole life. And he's a motivational speaker. But I knew he would like me. I knew he would.
Yeah.
I just knew.
Yeah.
Because he would hear in my voice what I can do. And he did.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great about it, you know? And
yeah.
So I have a lot of work to do. Yeah, I got a lot of work to do on this. But it's really a beautiful story. It ends in Africa. It has a good ending.
Wow.
It's not bad. It's just
good.
It's going to touch your heart and your soul. It really will. And it's funny that I have to tell you this because of the way you're talking to me. A gal called me. I clicked on something on my site because I had this AdSense on my magazine, the good stuff, you know, how to publish your book and how to do the how to do things. Well, it said, you have a children's story, we can help you publish it. Well, I clicked on it. Well, we ended up talking yesterday on the phone. And she said, well, don't tell me the title or anything. Just tell me what it's about. And I started to tell her. She said, oh, my God, you got to do this. And I said, well, now you're also working for a publishing company. I get that, too. And she said, no, I hear it in your voice. I hear it in your voice. I said, Well, good, you know. So, and she didn't pressure me or anything, but see the synchronicity, see the thing that happened.
Yeah,
it caught my eye, and I clicked on it, not to make 2 cents off of it because that's what I would make or something like that. But I did it because I loved the cover of the book, Danny. It was this beautiful green, a fairy tale green, not mint, a lot of depth in it, and that's why I clicked on it. And it said children's story, and that's me. That's me.
Yep.
So
yep.
See, a door opened and I went through it. I took it.
So you're going to love step 3 because you're going to see
the
synchronicity.
Okay, go. Yes, we have to keep talking about this.
Of it, you're going to love step 3. Step 1 is be kind to yourself. If you take that, when you're kind to yourself, the walls that we put around ourselves fall down and we allow it allows ourselves to experience the world around us that we could never see when the walls were up. Which allows us to be vulnerable, which allows us to invite things in and give to the world back. It's like an inhalation and an exhalation. We inhale the world into us, and we exhale ourselves into the world. It's a perfect, beautiful circle of energy that continues a flow that keeps going. The third practice is do what you came to do. So many times I ask people, why are you here? Why do you think you're here? And so many times, it pains my heart to hear them say it, but they say it so often. I don't know. I don't know why I'm here. Okay, let's take a minute. Why do you think you could be here? I don't know. I really don't know. Well, I believe in a world where the creator of this world doesn't need to recreate things just for the sheer sake of putting more math into the world. If we would understand that from the beginning of time until this moment, no one has ever done what we've been created to do in the way that we're going to do it right now. Because if they had, we would have never needed to be created. And now stop for a minute there and go into the future and know that no one from this moment on till the end of time will ever do what you've just done today, here in this world, in this lifetime. No one will ever do it because you did it. You were created to do it and you did it. Wouldn't that be worth finding out what that is? In the whole span of time that nobody else in the world is doing what you're here to do, let's take some time and figure that out. Let's take some time and feel it from inside. Let's take some time and follow the connections that we're having. Let's take some time and understand that we're one connection away from actually knowing what our purpose is. So walk through those doors. Don't hide. Follow the leads that you're given. See where you're being led. Do what you came to do. And when you do what you came to do, the whole route that you're doing changes. We have GPS systems now in our cars. Pretty soon we'll have self-driving cars. We get into
our cars. They have self-parking ones, don't they? Isn't there a car that can park itself?
Yeah, yes, they do. And within the next 5 to 10 years, we will have self-driving cars. So we will literally get out of our house, we'll go into our car, we'll type in the destination where we want to go, we'll sit back in our chair,
we'll sit back and relax.
Our windows will become screens that will allow us to interact online with anybody we want to get information, get restaurants, get anything we need. We'll be right there in front of us. And we won't have to do anything. We'll get from where we
are.
Sounds kind
of boring, doesn't
it? Well, no, it sounds beautiful because it sounds relaxing because we'll be able, it's an effortless way.
Well, yeah, just think of all the things you could do.
Think of what you'll be able to do. But forget about what we do or what we don't do. It will become effortless to get from where we are to where we're going. The advance in technology comes from within inside. It's a message to us that we can do the same thing with our human operating system. Once we know what our destination is, we put that into the GPS of our human operating system. And we just sit back and relax as our human operating system takes us from where we are to where we need to go effortlessly. We don't need to struggle. We don't need to fight. All this, I got to work hard to be this. No, we don't. It's an effortless connection from where we are to where we're going because it's just like our car. How glorious is that? But we can't. A wise man once said to me, if we don't know where we're going, every road takes us there. But when we know where we're going, we have very few roads that take us, that get us there.
That's right.
We have to know where we're going and then take the roads that get us there. Start to find those places, those people. Because suddenly when we're vulnerable and we're open, what happens is everything comes into us and everything goes out of us, but everything is not valuable to us. We have to be able to start to discern what will take me to this destination and how do I incorporate that into my life? Do I want prosperity? Well, what are the connections that will bring me prosperity that are one connection away? Do I want to find romance and love in my life? What is the connection that will take me to that? Do I want to have more fulfillment in my life? What's the connection that I have that's one step away from me that will bring that to me, that will open up that door for me? That we don't just haphazardly walk into every door that opens. We start to now choose and purposefully open up doors because we're no longer protecting ourselves from ourselves. We're vulnerable and open to the messages the world's giving us. And we're purposeful in how to get there. Does it make sense?
It makes a lot of sense to me. I hope it does to everybody that's listening. It should.
I wish there was a way that we would know. It becomes so easy when we think about what happens in a step-by-step progression. And if they go to my website, which is just themosaiconline.com, they'll start to get hints at what I'm saying here. And remember I said to you, the mosaic, the book that I wrote, it only hints at these things, because a book that it should make sense to people, that a book that teaches us, or the message of the book is to see what we don't see. Wouldn't it make sense that the book in itself would hide certain things in the spaces between the words for us to discover only as we allow ourselves to connect to it? I don't want to lose you. I want to make sure we're together.
No, exactly. No, I'm absorbing it all. No, you're not. You're not losing me. No.
Okay. All right. So the final practice then is to build our mosaic. So once we open ourselves up, once we no longer have to defend ourselves from our own onslaught, once we're kind to ourselves and allow the world to come in, and we become vulnerable, which is practice two, and we give of ourselves to the world, and the world gives back to us, and we have this circle of energy that's flowing, an inhalation and an exhalation, a beautiful way of moving through the world. The very air that we breathe gives us life. It teaches us how to give and receive to the world. We inhale the world, and we exhale ourselves into the world. That's the vulnerability of this experience. When we're purposeful about where we're going, we know what experiences then to hold on to. We know what connections we need in order to get us to where our destination is. And finally, once we know that, then we start to build connections that will get us to those places. We connect to those pieces that will help us achieve what we want to achieve.
What happens
and
when you finish your mosaic?
When you finish your mosaic, you have done what you came here to do. You are clear. When you read the book, what happens in the book is Mo, who is the main character, the boy who's lost his parents, he sets out in search.
He's the one that goes to heaven looking for them, right?
He sets out in search for heaven. So he's looking for his parents.
Yes,
he's looking
for
that
heaven. Yeah, he wants
right?
to know. Yeah, okay, they're in heaven. Well, I want to find it, right.
And the people that he meets along the way are common, ordinary people, not your classic archetypes. Nobody wants their son, before the mosaic, nobody would ever want their son to grow up and dream of being a trash man. But when you meet the trash man that's in this book.
I saw that.
I would pay money for my son to be that trash man. Because that trash man comes and looks at you. And says, is there anything that you need help getting rid of? And the first time he meets Mo, Mo's walking with nothing, holding on to nothing, with nothing but the clothes on his back. And the trash man says, do you have any trash? And Mo thinks he's crazy, but then he looks at him and he sees the twinkle in his eye. And he said, I bet he's not talking about physical trash. I bet he's talking about something else.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, yes, there's something that's been troubling me. And I would love your help in getting rid of this trouble. And the trash man stops his truck. And he comes down and he sits with Mo. And he tells him his story. And in the process, Mo starts to feel this thing that was troubling him is being taken away from him. And the trash man looks at Mo and says, are you ready for me to put this in the truck? Because when I put this in the truck, I'm going to turn the grinder on. And we're going to grind it up and it will never harm you again. It will never hold you back one more time. And Mo says, go for it. And the trash man says, if you ever want it, you can rebuild it. But this one is gone. Why would you ever have it back? Puts it in his truck, grinds it up, and he says, Mo, you're good now. I'm going to drive away. Can you imagine if we had the power to do that for others? Can you imagine if we were able to just sit with each other
and take it away from them and fix it and make them good?
Yes. There's something
exactly.
that Thich Nhat Hanh. There's something that Thich Nhat Hanh.
I would
says.
Do that.
Thich Nhat Hanh.
I would do that.
Yeah, let's be trash
that.
Man together, right? And every one
yes.
of the characters, even though
oh,
they're not
everybody
spiritual
is listening.
Beings,
they're
going
to write me, are you the trash lady? I'll give you trash.
Yeah.
But no, it's true because that's how I see myself as I fix things. I make things
yeah.
good for a lot of people. There's a lady that's listening, and I never mentioned her name, but she knows who she is. She just thinks I can do anything. She said, Natalie, you get an idea, and you run like hell with it. But I really don't. I process it, I guess. But she's like, and I've talked about this before, she's one of my champions. I call them my champions. Those who are, Candy's another one. She's in the chat room right now. She does all the marketing, and then I have another lady named Jackie. She does the copy for me and stuff, you know. And
mm-hmm.
But she told me, she said, because sometimes, you know, I get into this real low, and I don't know if it's because I still feel that there's more to do, but I don't know what it is. And
mm-hmm.
she said to me, look what you've done over 20, I've known you 20 years. I
wow.
don't know anybody that has accomplished what you have. But to me, it's not enough, Danny.
Yeah.
There has to be more for me. But I don't know what it
yeah.
is yet. You know?
And Natalie, that's okay. You don't have to know what it is. Like the more, here's the
no.
beautiful thing of what I'm trying to say through this mosaic. The more we just become open, the more we invite the connections, the more we become vulnerable, the more we allow those things to connect to us that are ours to do, we don't have to know what to do. The mosaic will connect us to the people we need to meet and the situations we need to be a part of that will
right.
make that reality happen. We're not operating alone. We think that we're in this and we have to figure it all out. We do not. There is a mosaic connected intelligence that will help us to figure it out. There's something. Have you ever heard of swarm intelligence?
Storm intelligence? No.
Swarm.
S-W-A-R-M. No.
So there is something exquisite that's happening, and I believe it's part of the new paradigm that the world's going to go through. If you look at the way birds fly in the sky, it looks like there's one bird out in front that's leading the flock, but he or she is not leading the flock. The birds all fly in random synchronicity with each other, and they move all of them move because they move in a swarm. Fish do the same thing in the water. Man doesn't do it. We move in crowd consciousness, but we don't move in swarm consciousness. And so some people started to say, we're going to try and use AI to see artificial intelligence, to see if we can create a swarm amongst people in different parts of the world. So they brought together people from many different countries and brought them into a room, a virtual room. They were still in their countries, and all they had was a mouse. And with their mouse, they were trying to move the object in the middle of a hexagon on their screen, but 60 other people in other rooms were doing it. Nobody could see who was moving what. They just saw that the puck started to move as they started to move, and then it came back and it would move. Someone challenged them and said, "You think you can do something? Let's give you a challenge that shows whether you can do this or not." We want you to predict who's going to win the Kentucky Derby, the horse race, the Kentucky Derby. We want you to tell us who's going to come in first, second, third, and fourth. There's a 538,000-to-1 chance that you're going to be able to do that. And they said, sure, let's try it. We don't know if we'll be able to do it, but let's see what we do. They brought together 60 horse enthusiasts. Not even, these were not bettors or people. These were just people that liked horse racing. And they put them in different sections of the world, and they gave their mouse the opportunity to have them decide who was going to come in first and try and move that puck in the middle to the horse's name on the hexagon. Do you know that the 60 of them came up with the first, second, and third, fourth winner, but not one of
wow.
them?
Wow.
Not one of them on their own came up with the winner of first place. Not one of them came up with the winner of second place. They all chose somebody else to come in first, all chose somebody else to come in second. Only one of the 60 chose the horse that came in third to be the third place winner, and none of them chose the fourth place winner. So it wasn't that somebody, the swarm group moved the thing and everybody thought, oh, I'm going to follow what they're doing. Together, their connected intelligence, their mosaic of them together, created solutions that none of them on their own could figure out. That's the amazing thing of what happens when we connect together. There's something bigger that's there for all of us than what's in front of us when we can't see that, when we operate on our own. We don't even see the questions to ask, let alone the answers that are coming. And there's
right.
a new paradigm that's happening of a connected intelligence that will bring us all together. That's what's between the lines of the mosaic. That's what's in the spaces between the words. Because all the mosaic really does is it asks one simple, very easy question. It's a little bit threatening to those of us who don't want to do it. It says to us, we know what we see. What would happen if we could see what we don't see? Have you ever seen that drawing where one way it's an old hag and the other way it's a socialite? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't think so. I may have.
It's a black line drawing. They use it in psychology sometimes. And sometimes you when you look at it, the way you see it, you either see an old hag or you see a young socialite with a feather coming out of the top of her hat. But when you see one of them, you can't see the other. And you sit there and you say, so if you see the old hag, someone says, well, I see a socialite. They say, that's impossible. The only thing that's here is an old hag. Until your perception changes. And suddenly you see the socialite. Now you can't see the old hag. What's in front of us is not what we see. And
that's
what
right.
we see
that's what I was
is
thinking.
Not what's in front of us. And
yeah.
when we learn to see what's in front of us in its totality, the world we see is completely different than the one we know. And that's what the mosaic is asking us to do, to see what we can't see. And please, I can't ask people enough, not because I want to make money from it. Who cares about the money? I want people to experience this experience of reading this book. They will have a sense of how the simple, beautiful, ordinary things of this world hold within them the most extraordinary reality possible.
You know, I was looking at something. I don't know if it was on Facebook. Yes, it was on Facebook. And this little girl, her mother says, everybody says my daughter is ugly. And
yeah.
I look at this little girl. I mean, she had deformities and everything. And I thought to myself, there's going to be somebody who's going to see her beauty. I saw it, but somebody
yeah.
else wants somebody else. So everybody, not everybody is going to see it the same way. Because
yeah.
and I always say this to people too, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and only the beholder can see that beauty. And that's true.
Yeah.
Because I'm a woman and I care about how I look. And you start to examine, like when you get older, you start to say, oh, God, some days I look in the mirror and I look awful. Then I'll go back in the mirror. Hey, you don't look so bad right now. What changed? Nothing changed.
Yeah.
You know, it's how
yeah.
you're seeing yourself.
Yeah.
It's true.
100%.
It's true.
100%.
You know, and we're so, I think, too, you know, this book would help a lot of people. We're so critical of people, of you know, oh, that's wrong. You did that wrong. You can't do that. Why not?
Yeah.
I always
yeah.
say, why not? It's
well, if
possible.
You think about the glory of a mosaic is that when we think about it, we see the connection of pieces together, broken pieces, whole pieces, beautiful pieces, ugly pieces. But the beauty of it
right.
is, not every piece is connected one side to another flush. Sometimes it's just
no.
the very corner, the very tip. Only maybe if we have a 360-degree circle, maybe only 2 degrees of that circle is where one piece connects to another. One corner connects to the other corner. But that's enough to keep the connection going.
Every
and
time
so
you talk about and say the word mosaic, I see this dish that I used to see when I was a little girl.
Yeah.
It's round,
yeah.
and it's pieces of tile, all different colors, all different shapes. They were not actually touching because you had to have a joint to make it
yep.
so that you could seal it and put it together and cement it together. And I can tell there's tile in my background. Talk about a joint, right? Then you seal it. I can see this dish every time I think about it, and they were beautiful colors. And some of them were ugly, but they look so good all together.
Yep.
They look
so
good.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Some of the pieces are only touching at the very corner, which means the majority of the connection between one piece and of another is that they're disconnected. But if we could learn to see the places where we are connected rather than the places where we're not connected, the connection that we experience in the world would grow exponentially. We have to stop focusing on how different we are and how disconnected we are and what color skin someone has or what religion they are or where what border they live behind or if they're male or female or if they have money or don't have money. When we see the connection, even a small portion, even a little tiny piece, where we get past our superficial realities and we go to what we all want, which is we are all connected by the fact that we want to be loved and accepted. We're all connected by the fact that we want to be listened to and heard. We're all connected by the fact that we want to be validated and understood. Nobody says we have to be
And we all
want to
be loved, Danny. Everybody wants to
be
loved.
Be loved.
Whether they say they want to or not, they do.
100%.
And
I
love can be different for everybody. It doesn't
100%.
Have to be the same for me, for you, for the listeners. It can be all different. What would you like that you could experience love? Sometimes it's the love of another, but sometimes it's the love of a cat or a dog. It can be anything. You know what I'm saying?
Anything.
Everybody wants to be loved.
And so when we choose to connect to each other through that love, our hatred vanishes.
I agree with all that. I would love to see it all happen in our time. I talk to my son a lot, and even my granddaughter, I tell her things, because there's a lot of stuff going on that isn't good. It depends on how you feel about things, but I just want everybody to get along and be happy and help each other and grow and do things and create and go where they want to go. Like I said, give me my wand and I'll fix it all. That's the little fairy tale in me, though. You hear that? That's the little girl in me, because if I told you my story, you'd understand me so well, Danny. You would, because I was alone as a little girl, and so I probably daydreamed most of the time, but I also was instructed at the same time. But I think that's the little girl in me that I didn't have that when I was a little girl. So that's what I want. That's why I want to do the fairy tale, I think, because that's a part of me. It's me. It is me. I am the lady in the story.
Of course.
We're going to have to talk again, you know.
I would love that. Anytime would be my honor.
I would love to talk to you again. And I have to thank Tom on the air for connecting us, because I know.
Thank you, Tom Martin.
I mean, I haven't gone over on my time in quite a few months. I mean, one gentleman I did go over because we did so much laughing, and he said, that's the one that I talked about. My God, this is not an interview. I feel like I've known you forever. I said, well, you probably have known me forever. See? But I have to thank Tom for connecting us. And please get your book. They have to get your book. And I do have the site up pulled up on my – I extended us to 120 minutes anyways. But I do have your site online. It's called The Mosaic, themosaic, online.com. Go there. You can get the Be Kind to You bracelet. It's only $7.95, which is really pretty cheap. And I must talk to Tom. I didn't get an autographed copy from you. I have the other copy. So, Tom –
I will get you an
You're
autograph.
You're not doing
That's
your job.
No problem.
I need an autographed copy,
doing good.
Tom.
I'm just kidding.
I have it. And I'm going
to
keep just go get the book, look at the book, and hold it. I mean, if you can get it online, I'm sure it's at Amazon, right? Everything is on Amazon.
It is Amazon.com. Go to the Mosaic Daniel Levin, and you'll see it immediately.
You also have something here where you can get a card reading.
Yes.
You have Mosaic
reading.
Cards.
Yes, I have the cards. They're only online right now. I created those card decks when I was at Hay House that everybody uses. That was my invention for them. But I created those online to make them free of charge. All that people have to do is they put their email in there, and they can open up and get a three-card reading.
That's what it is.
Which
it's
is fabulous.
It's the mosaic,
and
the journey. Yep.
So
it's
get
wonderful.
That card reading. You can go there as often as you want. It's free of charge. You can, if I don't spam people. I don't do anything. I barely even communicate with the people on that list. But if they want to get a reading, if they want to have another perspective, go in and check it out there. And you can unsubscribe from the mailing list at any point in time. It's not, get it.
And they can always contact me if they would like to reach you, and I'll direct them to your site. And
you
should see these cards, everybody. They're beautiful. They're all
mosaic.
I like that one with the eye. Yeah. That reminds me of the dish that I see in my head. You've got the architect, the aviator. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
this
they're really
wonderful.
Cool. And I don't know how it works, but they're so spot on. So they're amazing. So enjoy them. Go for it. Get perspective. We long for new perspectives. Go to the cards, hear what they have to say, integrate them into your life, see if they make sense. If they don't, you've lost
nothing. But now you have an assignment.
Free.
I'm giving you a homework assignment.
Me?
You need
Go
to make these into cards.
Yeah. No, I know. I was one step away from doing it. They're ready. They're all camera ready. I was talking to the printer. I was going to have them done in China, and the last minute I pulled them because I wanted to use the money to promote the book first and get the book out there and then have the cards come. So I put the cards
Well, you need to do this.
Charge. Okay.
Yes. You can't get them when they're online like that. That's beautiful. A way of giving back to people to use them. And again, it's the mosaiconline.com. You have to go to it to appreciate everything about it. I mean, I'm just looking at the three cards that I see here right now, and they are gorgeous. And they're all mosaic. They're all pieces.
Yep.
They're all pieces put together to make a picture. And that's so unique. How long did you work at Hay House?
I worked at Hay House for 10 years. When I came, they were a $3 million company. I was director of business development. When I left, they were doing $100 million a year in sales.
Louise Hay, she was really something, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was a character. She was a character.
Yeah. she wrote me something and said, she was an innovator, I would assume. I don't know. I don't know her background. But they said that I'm a star child. They said she was a star child, but I'm different than her. I'm not really like her. I don't think so. Not really. Not really.
Wow.
I mean, you could probably tell by talking to me that I'm not, because you actually knew her. But that you did a lot there.
Yeah. No.
And you're not there anymore?
No. And we were, it was the first time that I really saw the power of what ordinary people could do, because none of us were exceptional at what we did. But all of us together made something exceptional. And it was really beautiful for that moment in time to have happened was exquisite.
Right.
And now all sorts
of people
are claiming.
Yeah, you were lucky to experience all that. Exactly.
Totally.
Exactly. There isn't a magic key either. I mean, it's not like you put the key in there and, oops, there's that beautiful world that I just opened the door to. It doesn't really work that way. And I can tell you from all that I've done, and sometimes I sit back and think, you should be more successful than you are. But you know what? I'm as successful as I want to be, maybe. I don't know. I don't like to be out in front. I like to be behind the scenes anyways. So I'm using my gifts as I'm doing what I do. And because, I'm going to get people to send me messages now, and they're going to say, well, what did you mean by that? And what did you mean by that? Well, I'm telling you that it's I think if you find something, and you know this, if you find something that you have a passion for and you want to give it out to the world, which is what you do and I do, and Tom's listening, then it's wonderful. It really, really is wonderful. I mean, I stay up to all hours of the night just doing my thing, and right now it's tax time and all that kind of stuff, and I'm fielding questions, and I love it. I mean, And I'm a people person. I'm a people person, Danny, but not. Oh, I guess I could be in a place, a business. Yes, I could. Yeah, I used to run a tennis club, a big one. So yeah, I gotta smack myself for that one. Yes, I am really good at customer service and making things work for somebody. It's easy for me. And so, and I'm so grateful I met you. We will talk again now that I have your phone number here.
Yes, anytime.
I have your
anytime.
Phone number now, you know. So there
anytime.
Is no escape.
You're welcome to call.
There's no escape, Danny, at all.
And
if you just hear a little voice, Danny, it's just Natalie. I need to talk to you.
Please, anytime. I'm here. And I'm available. That's what this life is all about, being available to each other to help each other do what we need to do. Because together
right.
we can accomplish miracles. So I thank you so much for having me. I thank your listeners
oh,
for
no,
persevering
I love this.
Through
we went
this.
An hour and a half and went nonstop talking. And
yes.
no, I feel like I've known it forever. And forever is a long, long time.
And
a
we
long,
will continue to know each other forever. Forever continues.
Yes.
This is
yes.
the beginning,
yes.
not
yes.
the end,
yes.
Natalie.
No, no.
Thank you.
No,
from
you
the
I will
of my
continue
heart
on
for
with.
Happiness.
Oh, you're
thank
most
you,
welcome,
thank
and
you.
I'm sure everybody enjoyed it. And before I end the show, I have to always say what I always say. Believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. And I say that because it's coming from within, because I really believe it. I have proof. I've seen it. I know it. And so I'm relaying that to everybody that's listening that, you know, this little girl who creates fairy tales over here, she's in a fairy tale
yeah.
every day. And but it's nice. It's nice. And I will call you. And thank you, Tom, again. I know he's listening. He said he would listen. Thank you, Tom, for getting us together here. And it's been wonderful. You have a great evening. And I will talk to you soon, Danny, I promise.
I look forward to it, Natalie. And thank you again. And thank you. I thank all the people who listen for spending time with us. It's been a joy.
Oh, it has been. Okay, have an awesome evening. Love you. Okay, love you, everybody.
Love you, too.
Have a good evening, and I'll see you next week, Wednesday, 8 to 9. Thank you. Good night.